If you could turn back then to the passage of scripture that we read. It would seem that our culture has a habit of devaluing certain words in our vocabulary. Tony reminded us on Wednesday, didn't he, of the word good, and used the example of the forms that we have to fill in when we're in hotels and places like that, and we tick our little boxes. There's poor, very poor, good, very good, and excellent. And the word good comes somewhere in the middle. But when the Bible uses the word good, it is actually meaning very good. And I suppose we could use the same analogy for the word friend. Friend is another devalued word. We have a friend at work. We have a friend in the church. We have a friend of the family. But are they really friends? Are you a friend of Jesus Christ? I suppose we'd all like to think we are. Those who definitely know we are, probably are. Those who don't think we are probably not. But in between that, there's a lot of uncertainty. There are those that would say, well, I think I am. I hope I am. I'm not sure. In these verses, Jesus outlines some of the characteristics or hallmarks of his true friends, as he has been doing throughout his private ministry to his disciples. He clearly states the fact that these anxious disciples are his friends. I, verse 15, have called you friends. To be one is quite a privilege and honour, isn't it? To get a real handle on this is not easy. Imagine being the friend of a royal. I did notice that Prince William seems to have struck up a friendship with David Beckham as they seek to represent the England bid for the World Cup in 2018. Quite a thing for David Beckham. Friend? Or is he just somebody he's met and has to keep this kind of acquaintance with? But are we talking about this kind of meeting? It's not just a meeting, is it? A friendship. It's a relationship that is long term. To meet a royal and have a relationship with a royal is going to impact your life. You're not going to do the things you used to do. And you are going to do things that they would approve of. Your life would change. Paul says that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. By him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God. Are you a friend of Jesus Christ. The implication of a relationship like this is huge, both by way of privilege and responsibility. James tells us in 4:4 that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy with God. To be a true friend of Jesus Christ, at the very least, is one who is not going to feel at home in the world. It's going to be an uncomfortable place. The truth is, friendship with the world is hostility toward God. A true friend is hard to find, if we're honest, isn't it? One who you can share your life with and won't feel vulnerable because you do. One who shares your interests and your values. One who cares about you, who loves you, who respects you. One who knows all about you and loves you anyway. One who understands your weaknesses, knows your faults, and won't talk about them to others. One who, when does speak of you, will put you in the best possible light. One who will guide you when you go astray. One who is brave enough to tell you when you are wrong. One who will not disappear when times get tough. One who hurts when you hurt, laughs when you laugh, is not jealous when things go well for you. One who will encourage you, strengthen you, lift you up when you are down. One who will do all they can to help you reach the full potential of who you are and what you can be. True friendship. Have you a friend like that? Can you be a friend like that? Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly." So how does Jesus define friendship? Verse 15 says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you." Interestingly, verse 15 needs breaking down a little bit to bring home the directness and the intimacy of what he is saying. The little phrase at the beginning, "no longer do I call you," is actually one little Greek word, and it's the word lego. And what that little word means is to speak by linking and knitting together the inward thoughts and feelings of the mind. In other words, Jesus is saying, what I am communicating to you is my inner heart. Our relationship is so deep and intimate, it far surpasses any student-rabbi or servant-master relationship. The servant doesn't know the whys and wherefores of what his master's business is. He just follows and obeys dutifully. Not because of desire or understanding. There is no explanations or discourse in those relationships. But in this relationship, this is intimate and profound. This is meaningful and deep. This is not fake or false, nor shallow, nor merely dutiful, but deepening and mature. Now, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, no doubt you will have come across various brands of Christianity. And within that, there are those who would say that a relationship with Jesus Christ is primarily one of experience. They wouldn't articulate it quite like that, but they would certainly dumb down knowledge and an understanding of God's word. And the emphasis would certainly be on relationship. They would say you don't need to know reams and reams of scripture or understand the Bible necessarily to be a Christian. You just need to personally know the compassion and love of Jesus. Often people who know scriptures know little of a relationship of Jesus. And of course that's true. It can be true. And we are certainly those who would say you can't base your Christian life on how you feel. Feelings are unreliable and they fluctuate. We can feel high and happy and enjoying life and feel that we are blessed of our Saviour and God is with us. And we know it. And we can feel low and in despair and wonder, where is God? Am I His? Is He with me? We wouldn't advocate feelings. But we must base our Christian life on what we know to be true. Truth is constant, and we can put our dependence and build our Christian life on that. But I wonder sometimes if some of us, despite a Christian profession, despite a baptism, despite church life, if we really know Jesus as friend. There is no intimate prayer, communion, day by day. There is no searching of the scriptures to find out what God wants us to know and to hear. True Christianity is not an ideology or a worldview. It is a relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. It is knowing Jesus in your heart. Jesus said, I do not call you servants. I do not call you to be dutiful to an ideology or a worldview, but I call you to a relationship of intimate and profound friendship. Tony reminded us this morning that Jesus is not dead. He is risen. He is alive. We're not worshipping a dead Saviour. He's alive. God's word is a living word. We are to read it and experience it and live it out. This is a relationship that is bound to a living Saviour through a living word by His living Spirit. Faith without works is dead, according to James. But let me tell you, knowledge without relationship is just as dead. But that is not to say that you can have a personal relationship or friendship with Jesus Christ without knowledge. Don't be deceived by those who say, oh, you don't need to know your Bible, you just need to know God's love. may not be expressed like that, of course. We only experience true peace, true joy of sins forgiven, because we understand that the Bible teaches Christ died a substitutionary death on the cross. You cannot experience Jesus in a vacuum. That is mysticism. This word is living, it is reliable, it is inherent, it is without mistakes and infallible, totally true and totally sufficient. To look or find experience that forms your Christian life that is unrelated to God's word will take you down a path at best that undermines God's word, and at worst will disconnect you from a relationship with him altogether. Mysticism and trance have nothing to do with friendship with Jesus Christ. The call to a friendship with the Son of God is a friendship that is deep and intimate. It is unbreakable. To finish the quote in Proverbs 18:24, it is so profound, it is so strong, it says, that this friendship is with a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That is quite a relationship. The emphasis is not on what the relationship is called, but on what it is. We are called a number of things as God's children. Paul says that you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ in Galatians 3:26. The people came to Jesus and they said, "Your mother and brothers want to speak to you." Jesus stretched out his hand to his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." The relationship is so strong and close and deep and intrinsic. It is so unbreakable and secure. The different words used to describe what the relationship is bring out different attributes and facets of this wonderful relationship. Here he uses friends in contrast to servant. The servant has no direct access to the master. He goes through a process, a chain of command. Not so for us. We have direct access to our wonderful God in heaven. Anytime, anywhere. For we have the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, "Abba, Father." There's no need for a confessional box. There's no need for any human intercessor. You can have direct access because this relationship is intimate. Jesus defines this friendship in verse 14. He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Responsibilities. We wouldn't be faithful to God's word if we ignored or dumbed down this. To dismiss it or undermine it, or even at worst, make it irrelevant to the context of this intimate relationship, is to actually impoverish the whole of our Christian experience and even prove that such a relationship does not exist between you. Jesus himself makes this crucial. No friendship exists without communion and companionship and common aims and outlook. It would be a nonsense to say you were a friend without those things? Would you say you had a good friendship with one who trod your values underfoot? With one who lived as if you didn't matter? With one who would nod and agree and amen everything you'd said and yet lived trampling your values underfoot? Remember what Jesus said, Matthew 12:50. Here are my brothers and mother and sisters. Here. Those who do the will of my Father in heaven. A friend of Jesus Christ will be defined by the conduct of your life. You are my friends if my teaching is worked out in your life. You are my friends if your life demonstrates what I teach and instruct, what I value. Otherwise, you have a sham. You have a mask, from where we get the word hypocrite. In the same way you bear fruit because you are in the vine, so your life will be one of obedience because you are his friend. Of course, we can't be obedient on every occasion. But there will be a definite and obvious pattern of a Christ-centered teaching that demonstrates that this relationship with whom you have no double standards. Look at verse 14. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. The term servant will no longer do. This relationship of love, because you abide in his love, you keep his commandments. Because you abide in his love, you keep his commandments. Obedience is an expression of love and devotion, not a means to get it. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. These people had suffered much. Like many of the people, they'd had it up to here with the crushing weights of the Pharisees' laws and traditions that actually brought them under bondage. Jesus said, "For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders." This was a relationship of love. Jesus changed it all. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Apostle John says, "And now, little children, abide in him." Nothing condescending about that phrase. Jesus said in verse 9, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." A life of obedience is a life that glorifies Christ, that says, "I am not ashamed of my friend." A life that glorifies Christ is one that brings Christ into the light of your life. A life that glorifies Christ is one that brings Jesus into the light of your speech and your actions and your reactions. And your decisions. That's a life that glorifies Christ. when He is seen in everything you do, every face expression, a life that is true to the friendship you profess. Are you a friend of Jesus Christ? As much as this relationship is defined outwardly and openly by the life and testimony we bear to the truths and teachings of Christ, it is also defined inwardly by what He makes known to us. This cannot be anything but a loving relationship. Verse 15 reads, "But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." That's why you're my friends. You know where I have come from. You know why I have come. You know why I must lay down my life. They don't. You do. You know where I am going. And you know me. And you know how to follow me. I've not withheld anything from you that my Father has given to me, I'm giving to you. Paul says in Ephesians 1, having made known to us the mystery of His will. The word mystery in the Bible is actually a revelation. He says it there, having made known a mystery. God has revealed His will to us. That doesn't mean we're omniscient, knowing all there is to know about everything there is to know. But we will know everything we need to know at any time, in any situation, what is appropriate. I did hear a story, I can't remember the full context, or even if it's true, about a clockmaker and his 5-year-old daughter. And they were coming home from a trip. And they were on the train and about to get off at the next station. A little 5-year-old girl looked up to her dad and said, "Dad, what is child abuse?" And the dad just looked out the window as the train pulled up and said to his little girl, "Pick up my case, darling, we're going." So the little girl tried to pick up the case full of clock things. She couldn't pick it up. He said, "Come on, pick it up." She couldn't. It was too heavy. She goes, "Daddy, it's too heavy, I can't." So he just said, "I'll pick it up. I'll carry it for you. When you are ready, you'll be able to bear these things. I can't tell you those things now. But when you are ready, I'll tell you." I don't know what struggles you're going through. I know some. In all those things we cannot understand. Why, Lord? Why has this happened? In all the hurts and pains of life, some things Jesus tells us, but some things He doesn't. When you are ready, when you are strong enough, not now. Until then, I'll carry it for you. Trust me. Jesus explains just a little later. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus doesn't crush his friends with knowledge and information that is inappropriate for us and too hard for us to bear. He loves us. This is a loving relationship, and he's going to carry you through. Just look at the emphasis this wonderful Jesus gives to us. He says in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." He said it before in chapter 13, 34, and we looked at that in a previous sermon some time ago. But he says it again here. How are you doing with this commandment? Selfless, sacrificial love for one another. How are we doing? As I have loved you, you're demonstrating your friendship to Christ by the way you work out your life and friendship with one another. The list that we went through of what we'd like a friend to be, Jesus is all of that and more. And he wants us to be that friend to one another. Some of us don't even have enough time for one another. Never mind give our life for one another. Sacrificing to give our time and energy and ministry and gift for the unlovable person. There are those who are burnt out because of sacrificial love for this church. For the unlovable. And there are those who are close to being burnt out. Because they give and they give and they give. And they don't stop giving. They need refreshment. They need encouragement. They need restoration. They need love. What about you? What about me? Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. There is no greater love, is there? If you've got a friend like that, you'd actually take your place. To lay down his life for the unlovable. Denied by one, abandoned by the rest. Yet he looks them in the eye and he says, "You are my friends." At the point of their severest and most crushing trials and testings, when things are just going to kick off so bad for them, Jesus turns to them, looks them in the eye and says, "You are my friends. I love you. I've laid down my life for you. Abide in my love." This is Jesus, the friend of sinners, like me. And just to completely blow their minds and wonder at the depth of his love, he says this to them. "You didn't choose me. I chose you. You are my friends. And I'm keeping you through all of this." We may need another sermon on that. But the working out of this obedience to Jesus does not depend on our ability to do that. It depends on his keeping power. It depends on him standing by us and appointing us to the fact that we will bear fruit. That's my Jesus. That's your Jesus. Paul says, For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Ephesians 1:4, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame in him in love. Do you need wisdom? He says, ask the Father and he will give it you. Right here in this context. Do you need strength? Ask the Father and he will give it you. Do you need to love the unlovable? Ask the Father and he will give it you. Whatever we ask, in his name, he will give you. It's the laying down of his life that made all this possible, brothers and sisters. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. Where are you? Honestly, are you a friend of Jesus Christ? Understanding the greatest love the world could ever know came and gave his life is where a friendship with him is born. Make yourself a friend of his. May God bless his word to our hearts. As we sing our next song,